This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk, February 13th, 2015. And our mission statement is always the same, never changes, to help the average investor become a better than average investor. We're here to answer your questions and provide some information that you might not look for on your own. The old saying is, well, you don't know what you don't know, and when it's your own money you're putting at stake, maybe not knowing something can really hurt you. So that's what we're here for, to try to broaden your knowledge, really. That's it. And maybe you can help me broaden my knowledge. I would love that. Every Friday, our premium newsletter goes out to our subscribers in email boxes. It's went out this afternoon, like it always does, earlier, sometimes earlier than the afternoon, but I try to make sure I get it out before the afternoon on Friday. And we start the newsletter started off with a market summary every time. And the market this week gained some traction. Oil prices continued to stabilize around 50 bucks. This is all in a newsletter I wrote today. And it looks like the market is starting to stabilize in that oil sector. Earnings season is coming to an end. You know, comes every around every corner. And there were pretty good flurry of good numbers this week, which helped move the market forward, give it some strength. However, on the economic numbers, they're kind of mixed. And for January, recent reports this week continued that pattern, especially retail sales report was not a very good number. The investors kind of ignored that. Did you notice that? And in the stock ideas section, which is probably the most, I give you a couple stock ideas every week, most looked forward to. I get a lot of feedback on that. Today we talked about a big auto company, or not an auto company, it really was a motorcycle company, and a pharmaceutical company today. And also portfolio management section, I try to help with you learning how to manage a portfolio of stocks and some of the rules, regulations, what things to look for. Today it was all about profit margins and how do you, what kind of numbers do you look for. And we also have a section called Consumer Watch. And this one was about the sharing economy, where rideshare and house share and sharing things is getting very popular with it, being able to share it through the internet. Kind of interesting. And if you'd like to subscribe, all you do is, remember, it comes out every Friday. All you do, you can subscribe on a monthly basis. You can go to investtalk.com. It's less than $10 a month, or about $10 a month. Time to get your calls. You can get through right now at 888-99-CHART. So let's go talk to Art at Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion on Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree.
I was thinking about getting a position, but I wanted to wait until about mid-60s if I could. But I just want to find out what your thoughts on it today.
Okay, Dollar Tree.
I think it's about 76.
Yeah, about 76.82, up $1.75 today. It operates about 5,000 discount variety stores in 48 states and Canada. The symbol is DLTR, Dollar Tree. I think most people have seen the store because they're all 48. They're in 48 of our 50 states. So they are a very sound company, Art. Constantly earning money, constantly growing their sales. It is a almost $16 billion company. So it's pretty big. Sales have been growing about 8-9% on average for the last 2 years per year, or per quarter, I should say. And earnings are going to be $3.11 this year and then $3.57 next year. There's a 14% increase this year and then it'll be a 15% increase next year. Now, because of that, it's kind of expensive. The stock is, because it's very, everybody likes it. It's selling at near $25 PE. The five-year average of PE is 15 to 25. So it's 15 to 27, I should say. So it's really, really at the nearest top. A really good return on equity, 42%. Everything about it is really good, Art. So it's a really good company. I don't believe you probably should wait for a pullback. I think you want to be a buyer at like a $70 range if you can get it down there.
Yeah, what I'm trying to wait for. But
I
was just wondering along the same lines. I think they just bought either like a dollar store or Family Dollar. They bought I think they bought into another discounter, and I think they're going to add like another 4,000 stores or something.
Wow!
But I was just wondering if that would have like an effect on the share price as well.
It probably would, depending on how much they paid for it. But I don't see it in any of the recent news. I can't go that in depth as on the radio, as you know. But I don't remember seeing that. Not that it didn't happen. I just don't remember Dollar Tree and Moody's publishing company quality. I'm looking for the news that says that. No,
it hasn't happened
yet. Yeah, I don't see it.
It's in negotiation.
Okay. Well, if they did, that would probably help them. I mean, more locations. I can't see how it would hurt.
Yeah, they're trying to consolidate the market or something.
Yeah, yeah. Get rid of some competitors. Art, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. DLTR.
Okay,
it's a symbol. Thank you. Are you leaving money on the table by mismanaging your IRA? Winning IRA strategies for 2015. That's one of our talking points today. So, do you want to talk about that? How about why chartists, people that looks at charts of the various indices, are still worried about the market? Why are they worried? You know, usually chartists are, you know, if the market moves up, they get bullish. It's because of bullish patterns, but they're still worried. Why? Some of the charts they don't feel comfortable with. We're going to talk about that. Food stocks are slumping. Food stocks are slumping. I want to discuss why. And in what way are they slumping? And is America going to see negative interest rates? Have you noticed that many parts of the world, sovereign banks are negative interest rates? And what are negative interest rates? We've talked about it before. And could that come here in the United States? What would that do? What is that? I think we should explore that. I don't know if it's how strong of a possibility here in the United States, but it is possible. Those are things I want to talk about. But, of course, what's up in your mind is more important than what's on my mind. The stock market today was up 47 points on the Dow, 36 points on the NASDAQ, and 9 points on the S&P. Have you noticed the NASDAQ is leading the charge? It's broken up the last couple of days to new 52-week highs, new highs, and where the Dow and the S&P are moving up, but not nearly as much. Kind of interesting. Looks like there's some sector rotation going on to me. Out of the big cap blue chip stocks and into mid cap and more growth oriented stocks. We'll see. It's always interesting. Be the Street by Pete Lynch. It's a very good book. Creative Destruction by Richard Foster, or Buffett's three favorite books are, or Buffett's three favorite books, A Guide to the Intelligent Investor, Security Analyst, and The Wealth of Nations. You can find these and more recommended books in our recommended book section on our website. Go to Invest Talk. Go to the investment tabs and scroll down to books. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley, everybody. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. And you can reach us right now with any money topic. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Clay in La Mesa. I know La Mesa well down there in San Diego. How you doing, Clay?
Pretty good, Steve. I have a philosophical question I want to ask you about the stock market.
Sure.
And, you know, I've listened to Jerry, and I've been listening to Jerry. I've been listening to the show for quite a few years.
Thank you.
Back when when Pavlis was still around.
Wow, that's a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember when you first came on the air, and you came in, and...
Yeah, 2000. That was 2000.
Yeah, he put that little challenge to you to see if you really wanted to do this business.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, I've looked at the stock market, and I have an IRA and a 401k and things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
And I just want you to just give me your best assessment. Back in 2008, I got laid off, 2008, 2009, back during the worst financial crisis we had.
Right.
Now, the stock market, you know, we've had some glitches here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But the stock market really didn't take as a bigger hit like the economy took a hit. I mean, the stock market was just rolling on, doing this thing, and then we got to this jobless recovery. Mm-hmm. And I know you kept saying that the interest rates were going up, get out of your bond funds, and mm-hmm. and then it didn't go. It went up to a little bit, but it didn't go up too much.
They didn't go up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they didn't go up as I thought for sure. That's for sure. They rolled down. They came up, but then they rolled over and went back down.
But the stock market seemed to just took the lumps and kept on rolling. And mm-hmm. I guess my question is how. I mean, there's certain things that affect the stock market, of course. Mm-hmm. But how can the stock market rally the way it did during the worst economic calamity we had, when thousands of people upon thousands of people were let out the pasture on these jobs? I was one of them. Mm-hmm. And the stock market just took it, kept on rolling. The corporations were still making money,
right.
Making money on top of money. They were making billions of dollars while most of us were just struggling just to stay alive
right. And
survive. So just in your crystal ball, because you've seen a lot of things. I know Jerry said he's seen anything imaginable in the stock market. He always said that America is not going away.
Right.
And I guess that rang more true to me when I saw the stock market rallying, even though most of us were getting laid off. Explain to me how can that happen.
Okay. Well, think about this. Okay. What drives stock prices up? I mean, basically, fundamentally, it's more money, right? More money coming into the stock market. Now, we can say stock prices, you hear me all the time, say stock prices, they go up if the earnings go up, and if earnings go up, stock prices go up. But there's also a supply and demand. Forget about earnings and forget about the fundamentals of the company. Think about the supply and demand of stocks, just pure stocks themselves. Okay. Well, there's a certain amount of supply of stocks to buy out there, right, in the world, okay? There's a certain amount. Now, what if, forget about the earnings, even though, well, I'll get back to that in a minute. What if the entire world started to fall apart like it did, and all the central bankers said, oh, we got to fix this. How are we going to fix this? Well, if we flood the world economy with money by printing it, then that may start right back up everybody buying things and putting people back to work and making more factories and so on and so forth. Well, that kind of worked, but not a lot. But where did all that money go if it didn't all go into the basic economy by building more roads and more factories? What happened to that money? Where does it go? It's going to find a home, right? Where did it find a home? It can find a home in the stock market. That's money out there. Where is it going to go? If you don't pay interest on the money in a bank, so if I get money or you get money, we don't want to put it in a bank. So from a fundamental point of view, all that money flooded into the financial instruments of the world, driving up stock prices.
Okay, so that stimulus package is what helped fuel this stock market.
Exactly.
Even though we had a jobless economy, most of us were trying to find jobs. It took me a while to get back to work.
It also helped the economy too, Clay. It helped it, but not as much as it helped the stock market.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Thanks for the call, Clay. I appreciate that. By the way, I recently updated my sector ETF watch list. It's available to all InvestTalk insiders. You can sign up for it for free at investtalk.com. Just remember, that's investtalk.com with two T's. Sign up right now. Okay, let's talk about some IRA strategies and some rules and regs that maybe you haven't considered. Required distribution. Required minimum distributions from regular IRAs and 401ks start the year you turn age 70 and a half. Required. And the IRS has not been very strict on this, but they said this year they're going to start becoming very strict. So be very careful. Make sure you're taking the proper amount after you reach age 7.5. And you do know that you have those catch-up provisions when you in your IRAs. If you can put you can put away in your IRA, right? You can put so much away in your IRA a year. But if you're over 50, you can add in your IRA another $1,000 per year. And in your 401k for 2015, the IRA contribution could be up to $6,500. But in your 401k, you can put an additional $6,000 a year in. Okay, so remember that. And you know, if your wife does not work and you do, that you can, she can contribute IRA if you file a joint return. She can put money in an IRA for herself if she doesn't work, but you do and you're married and you file a joint return. So these are kind of some of the things you need to consider. You know, there are, you might want to think about converting your regular IRA to a Roth IRA, but you got to think about this, maybe talk to somebody to see if it's advantageous to you. Because remember, when you convert from a regular IRA to a Roth IRA, that amount you convert to the Roth is taxable income for that year. So what's your tax rate for that year? Will you have a higher one or lower one next year? Do you want to pay the taxes on that conversion? So you know, there's a number of things you just got to be aware of, besides knowing how to manage an IRA or a Roth IRA or 401k or Roth 401k. Managing is a whole different issue. But you got to kind of know some of the rules and don't get caught, especially those required minimum distributions. Don't get caught not taking them. A lot of people forget they may have four or five IRAs. That's why I kind of recommend that you consolidate them as much as you can, trying to keep it simple, because you're going to lose track. You don't want Uncle Sam coming around swooping out your money for penalties and interest and things. It's hard enough to make without giving more to Uncle Sam. If you have a question, we're ready to hear from you at 888-99-CHART. We'd love to hear from you. 888-992-4278. If you're a podcast listener, you can call anytime you want. Leave the question. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Tim from Texas. I listen on podcasts. I had a question about pensions. You were talking about pensions a couple days ago, and I was just wondering, I work for a company who has a pension, and I'm fully vested, and I was just wondering what's the risk that that pension will not be there anymore when it's time for me to retire. I'm only 33, so I've got a long time until I'm going to retire, and I'm just curious if that pension is guaranteed or if I have to worry about that maybe not being there when it's time to retire. I'll listen for the answer on an upcoming show. Thank you.
Now, that's a very good question. A pension is only as good as the company you work for. However, in other words, if the company you work for 20 years from now goes out of business, are you still going to get your pension? Well, there is such a thing, it's called the Pension Guaranteed Fund, that every pension provider, every company that provides pension has to, it's like insurance. But, so your pension is only as good as your company. If it's stable and is in business, you get your money. If the company goes out of business, then the Pension Guarantee Fund kicks in. But the Pension Guarantee Fund does not guarantee your whole pension. It depends. There's a big, it depends out there. It depends how much assets is in the pension, how much more they have to kick in, and how many people are retired. It depends. So you will get something till you die, even if your company goes under. But it's not guaranteed. That's one of the problems with pensions. And a lot of pensions, are underfunded. Underfunded, meaning just like Social Security is underfunded. But Social Security, you know, you can always just tax us and just print money. You can still fund it. Whereas you can't do that on a pension. They have to have the money there. And many pensions, every year, companies have to put money in the pension fund. And you are going to get your pension, but there's no guarantee. So don't necessarily rely on it. Rely on yourself. Save money outside the pension. Take care of yourself, because no one else is going to look out for your interests as good as you. So just be careful. I had a friend who worked for an airline years and years and years and years, retired from the airline. The airline went bankrupt, and he was getting $10,000 a year. I mean, a month for pension. And the pension, when the bank went bankrupt, he got $3,000 a month. Very painful for him. Coming up next half hour, can you sell a house with a reverse mortgage? If you have a reverse mortgage on it, can you sell it? It's coming up next on InvestTalk Personal. You probably have your own money questions. I'd like to hear them. 888-99-CHART is how you reach us. You can do it right now here on InvestTalk.
Good advice. Spread your money around. Stick to a well-thought-out plan for carefully divvying up your money so no single calamity will destroy your portfolio. Want to talk about it? 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have new opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve. Important topics, annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance, an updated ETF list, and more. You can sign up right now. It's free on InvestTalk.com.
American Depository Receipts, everybody, ADRs. Do you know what they are? Well, you should if you're invested in the stock market. 888-99-CHART. Why charters are still a bit worried. Okay, we know that the market, the NASDAQ is up a new 52-week high. The last couple, 3 days, it's at new highs. The S&P is right near new highs. The Dow is not. One of the reasons why they're nervous is because even though the S&P has reached a high, and you know, 1 day means very little to a chartist. They want to see it reach that new high and make new highs several days, a number of days in a row before they can feel it is a breakout. Many of the most well-known chartists are still saying that this is, even if this is a breakout, it's going to be a minor top. That's what they're saying. Now, just to give you an idea, one of the reasons why they do it is because for 18 months in a row, the S&P 500 made a new high inside the month. For 18 months in a row, except for January, this last January. It did not. Another reason why they're not happy. IYT, that is the transportation ETF that you can look at, the transportation index is making lower highs and lower lows. So it's not, it still hasn't broken out the most recent low it had. So it's a bit worrisome because transportation is supposedly, if the economy is really doing well, transportation leads the way. And if you look at it a little bit differently, look at the fundamentals. Why isn't transportation making new highs with oil prices so low? Why aren't, you know, airlines and truckers and automobile sales and all these other things pushing those stocks higher when oil prices and gasoline prices and diesel prices are going lower? And would they normally go higher? They would in a strong economy, they would. So the charts are saying why, they're asking the question why. And so they just don't feel comfortable saying, you know, the bull market is back. They don't feel comfortable with the market yet. Of course, mind you, by the time they feel comfortable with the market has already rallied, right? I mean, so I don't know if you can rely on them. I'm just pointing out a lot of chartists are not comfortable yet with what they see going on in the stock market. Now, do I think the market's going to be higher this year? Well, all the signs are that it should be, but we have been in a five-year bull market phase. And we have had very little corrections along the way, very small corrections. At some point, we're going to see a bigger correction. I can't tell you when, though. Don't know. So the chartists are nervous. That I can't tell you. 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. 888-992-4278. And job number one for us is to answer questions. I want to answer your questions. So let's get back to work. 888-99-CHART is the direct line.
Hello, Steve and Justin. I'm a big fan of the show. My question for today is MV Oil Trust. I believe Steve said yesterday he thinks that oil is more or less hit the bottom. And I'm thinking about picking this up and holding it long term. Seems like a pretty solid dividend. And I think there's some room for capital appreciation because this stock's been hit for so long. So if you can give me your opinions on MV Oil Trust, the ticker is MVO, Mary Victor October. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Now, in our conference we had last Saturday, we talked about oil trusts, and we talked about the dangers of some of these oil trusts. This is MV Oil Trust, MVO, royalty trust holding 80% interest in MV Partners oil and natural gas properties in Kansas and Colorado. Pays a very high dividend, 16%. I'm going to tell you that don't rely on that dividend. They've had 5 dividend cuts since 2013, 3 dividend increases. So you can't rely on that dividend. I don't know where it's going to be. Is it cheap? Yes. It's very inexpensive. How much debt do they have? They don't have any debt. So they're living off the 80% interest of MV Partners, which is oil and natural gas properties in Kansas City and Colorado. So obviously they're going to be impacted by lower oil prices and lower and higher oil prices and lower gas prices and higher gas prices. Yeah, that's just the way it is. This thing has been pretty much tanked from $26, got as low as, was at four, right now, $15.25. But it's been lower. It's gotten low as about $13, its lowest. So is it a good play? Should you do it? Should you buy it? Well, then you have to think, well, is the oil stabilizing? And it is. Oil is stabilizing. I don't know about natural gas. I'd have to look at that. And therefore, if it stabilizes, and will the interest that they're getting, 80% interest from MV oil and natural gas properties, I'd like to know how they're making the money. Are they drilling it? Are they transporting it? Are they just, they already own the oil wells and they're just selling the oil and natural gas? How's that happening? Because I don't know. I can't tell from here. But I will say I think oil looks like it's found a bottom, at least in the short term. Now, be careful. Some of these master limited partnerships have long-term contracts with highly speculative oil companies that may not be able to live up to their contracts obligations. So don't fall in love with the yield on some of these master limited partnerships. This is a royalty trust holding company, holding 80% interest in something else. And you need to find out if that something else, which is the MV Partners oil and natural gas properties in Kansas City and Colorado, if that is, how stable that is. Okay. I'll be in San Jose and San Ramon next week for my hour-long individual retirement sessions. All my openings are full up in San Jose, but I do have one morning and one afternoon. Actually, I think one in the morning is actually took up today, by the way, so in San Ramon. So I think I got one slot open in San Ramon on the 18th if you want to meet with me. And if you're not near the area, we can schedule a limited number of Skype or telephone conferences. I do that all the time for people around the country, talk to you about what's going on. Just go to investtalk.com and click on make an appointment. The staff will take care of the rest.
InvestTalk is brought to you every day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. If you'd like to see more about select portfolios like our balanced income portfolio, just click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, this is Gary calling from Massachusetts. Hey, I love your guys' show, and I'd like to know your opinion on AFL, Aflac. Everybody knows the duck company. I'd like to know what your target is going out, maybe a year out, and whether it can keep up its dividends. Thank you very much. Take care.
You have to admit that campaign, that advertising campaign with a duck, Aflac, is probably one of the most successful campaigns ever out there for Aflac. Aflac is an insurance company. Accident Health Insurance Company offers cancer, accident health, disability, and life insurance in Japan, in the United States. It is now a $28 billion company. Wasn't always that big. And that campaign really made the company famous. It is now, let's take a look at the chart. Okay. Earnings are going to be $6.01 this year. after being $6.16 last year. Earnings have actually been coming down the last 3 years. They're going to turn around next year. 2016, they say they're going to be $6.44, up 7%. Sales have been shrinking every quarter, about 3 to 7% a quarter. Okay, so it's not like they're growing. It's not. Therefore, you would think that the stock should be pretty low, and it really isn't that low. It's selling for a 10 PE, but is that a high or low PE with this company? Because the five-year average for this company is between 5 and 11 for the PE, and it's at 10. So from this company point of view, that's not cheap. From the overall stock market, S&P 500, that PE is about 15, 16. It's not bad compared to that. But compared to itself, it's not cheap. You see how I'm looking at that? And this is right around $62. It's where it kind of peaks out. It's right at $62.13. It's been peaking out at that $62 area all year, for the last 12 months. And the low part is $54 to $56, somewhere on there. If it was me, and I really wanted to get in this company, I'd wait for a pullback. It pays 2.5% dividend. Because there's no catalyst for it to go higher. Earnings are the driving catalyst. Where's the earnings? The earnings, yeah, they're going to turn around next year. But the earnings next year is only returning to the earnings, not even as much as it was in 2012. It was higher in 2012 than it is next year. So you can't say you can give it a higher PE. You can't. So what's 10 times $6.44? $64 stock. It's at 62 now. Not a lot of upside. I'll be in this again. You have to look at every one of these stocks individually and say, okay, what's the sector doing? How good is this company in its sector? I would check other companies in the sector. See what they look like in comparison. Time for InvestTalk Personal, about the day-to-day money decisions that can have a lasting impact on your finances. Can you sell your house while receiving money from a reverse mortgage? So you took out a reverse mortgage. Can you sell your house? And if you plan on living in the house while it's on the market, can you still do that? And the answer is yes. A reverse mortgage is nothing more than a loan that you're taking out that they give you. A bank gives you. Instead of you taking a mortgage where you have to pay it, they pay you. Now, I don't know if it makes much sense. You don't do a reverse mortgage as a first option. That's a last option, okay, if you're really financially pinched. I'm not keen on reverse mortgages unless you have to do them. And it really, you don't. They cost a lot of money to get. The upfront cost to get a reverse mortgage is expensive. Why? Because the company loaning you that money gets nothing until you sell that house. And when you sell the house, or you die and your heirs sell the house, or they refinance into a regular mortgage, they have to wait. They wait and wait. It could be years. Because in a reverse mortgage, you never have to pay it back while you're living in the house, ever. So you need to live to 120, 130 years old. And the bank will lose a lot of money. But yes, you can sell the house while you're in it, while you have a reverse mortgage. Having a reverse mortgage doesn't stop you from doing what you want to do with the house. It doesn't stop you. And remember, you can't get a reverse mortgage unless the reverse mortgage is a first trust deed on the house. In other words, all the other loans have to be gone, or they wouldn't give you a reverse mortgage. And then the reverse mortgage is first in line, like a first trust deed, to get paid back. And that's InvestTalk Personal. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, it's time to check in at 888-99-CHART or make it a personal note. You can always send me a personal note directly, email me directly to me. Just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium Newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to InvestTalk.com today.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Food stocks are slumping. Now, I've been kind of warning you about the stronger dollar. And the stocks that have a lot of international sales are going to be under a lot of pressure. And those are some of the biggest companies. Food stocks are no different. Stronger dollar is really hurting them, hurting companies because they do a lot of sales overseas, like Smucker's and Campbell Soup, ConAgra. They have sales overseas, and the stronger dollar is going to hurt their sales. And besides that, there's a lot of, you know, the commodity prices are starting to perk up in some of the areas. Some commodities, not necessarily wheat, grain, and corn, not necessarily there. And there's a lot of competition coming in. But it's really the strong dollar. Whenever you're investing in anything this year, think of the strong dollar. We sold Kraft a couple of days ago when we saw it, because it's had a really good run. It started to weaken. We saw that before the earnings came out. So why is this stock falling? So this day we got out of it because the earnings came out the next day and they weren't very good. Someone knew something, didn't they? Anyways, but we knew because of the strong dollar. Kraft Foods, strong dollar is going to affect it. And you know, I'm not telling you to get out of all your international stocks. I'm not. I'm telling you just you need to be aware. And if you've had really, if you have some high overpriced big cap stocks that have a lot of sales coming from overseas, the strong dollar is going to be a problem. Now, some of these companies are smart and they have already hedged off that strong dollar. In other words, it's not going to affect their bottom line. They hedged against the strong dollar. So don't just be willy-nilly, make overseas sales, I need to get out. You got to dig a little deeper. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Our money management firm is KPP Financial, and we offer a number of different programs for you, for clients who want to take different levels of risk, like our balanced income portfolio. And that portfolio is a balance between high dividend paying stocks and bonds. Yeah, so it depends on you. What are you looking for? If you want to know more information, go to investtalk.com. Look for the investing tab. So do you know what a short ratio is? I don't know how many people out there know. And you know what? I'll be honest. The higher the short ratio, when it gets really high, I either hate the stock or I love it. Why is that? Why would I be one or the other? We have time for one more call on our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Yes, my name is Jim in Tampa. I listen on the podcast. I wanted to see what you thought of Nuvera Environmental Solutions, symbol NES. This is the old Heckman company. They changed their name. I know you're familiar with this company, and you've mentioned it in an article before. They do the water treatment for the fracking operations. They've been going down quite a bit lately, so I'm wondering if this is an opportunity or if this is something to stay away from. So I'm interested in your thoughts on that, and I'll listen on the podcast. Love the show. Thank you. Bye.
I will say this. This is NES, Nuvera Environmental, provides water and wastewater solutions for shale or unconventional oil and gas exploration. I'm going to say this. I'm not going to tell you what company, but we did buy this type of company this week. Okay? Not this company, but something similar. But not this one. This one provides water and wastewater solutions for all that shale production. And, of course, it has tanked like all the others. Okay, it went down to, less than $3.52. And just to give you an idea, this was in 2008, it was $107. Last year, the high was $44. The problem is this company doesn't make money. It made one year, it made money in the last from 2008 on. 1 year, made 10 cents a share. It's going to lose $5.54 a share at 2014 earnings. 2015, it's going to lose $1.59. And it's a $96 million company. It's highly speculative because they don't make money. And you know my rule, I don't buy stocks that don't make money. Now, if you ask me, is it going to be successful? Is it going to come around? Is it going to do well? Well, management owns 42%, so they're pretty focused. They need to do well. They want to make money on these things. So if you're going to roll the dice, you could roll the dice on this. Just don't roll the dice very much. And it is a roll of the dice. Now, one of the things that you might want to help improve your odds, they say they provide water and wastewater solutions for shale and unconventional oil and gas. Find out how much money, how much business they get out of, because they have sales, $139 million a quarter. How much they get out of North Dakota shale versus the shale in Texas? You want to focus on the shale in Texas, not North Dakota. That's much more expensive up there to get out of the ground. So those companies up there are a higher probability of going bankrupt than those in the ones in Texas. That was part of our seminar, our conference here last week. We mentioned that. Why? Why is that? Well, you have to come to the conference, or come to the conference when we have it online. Then you can find out why. Now, that's for NES, Nuvera Environmental. Okay, is America going to go negative on its interest rates? Remember, we're really low right now, right? 0 to 0.25 is the Fed funds rate. And remember, the Federal Reserve is the only one that really controls any rate, and it only controls that one rate. It doesn't control the interest rates that banks pay you for savings. It doesn't control mortgage rates. It doesn't control treasury bills or bond rates. It doesn't control any of that. That's all market-driven. Can we go negative? Well, look at the ECB, Switzerland, Sweden, Denmark. They all have negative interest rates. In Denmark, if you deposit money in Denmark Bank, you have to pay them to leave your money there. That sounds awfully wrong, doesn't it? Everywhere in the world, it's a race to lower interest rates, to try to spark growth, to try to spark inflation, and lower their currency so they can export their way out of their slump everywhere except in the United States. The only thing, can the United States go negative? It could. It's possible. I just don't think it's probable. We're not in that race to the bottom right now, and that's why our dollar is so strong. And that's why I'm warning you about earnings for big cap companies. We're not trying to weaken our currency. But what if we go into a slump economically? We will then. Before we close the hour, it's a very useful tool, one that we have included in our consultations with new clients. It's a risk analysis tool that measures your comfort with risk. It measures it and helps you determine whether your portfolio matches up with that comfort level of risk. It's free. Go to investtalk.com. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today and enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.